Sandy Clark, Scott Hastings, our third and final hour, but a special hour it is. Once more, we greet the good Dr. Rick Perea, professor of sports psychology, Metro State, University of Colorado, on your home for the best live and local coverage of the Broncos and the NFL, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. I sense a bit of a chill in the air as Brother Hastings just moments ago challenged the good doctor. You heard him, right? Listen, on your way in, challenging you a little bit, said he's going to check you out. You had been down the last time you were here. I thought myself it was a sensational appearance, your last appearance here.
No, it was a sensational appearance.
Apparently, that opinion is not shared by my partner, who thought you were down in the dumps.
Listen, Kisla. Quit instigating. Quit making up your own agenda and instigating that. Listen, I thought the appearance last time was one of the most thought-provoking, inspirational appearances he's ever had here.
I agree
but
with that.
You and I had to massage him a little bit because he was a little down. He was a little preoccupied.
He's a busy man. We know that.
He was
he's
not
a very busy
man. In this moment
man.
When we started, he was somewhere else, and we brought him forward.
That could be.
And then he took off, which shows you the power and strength of who he really is.
Well, I'm not half that person without you guys. I mean, obviously it took you to get me centered, get me back to my place, but the word down, I don't really – that's not word – that word's not in my vocabulary, Scotty, so I would say melancholy. Let's go with that word. I may have walked in a bit of a melancholy state, but I got where I needed to be able to be productive and passionate to compliment you.
Well, this ties in to a point you want to make today off the top, that the mood you're in right now is directly related to your present thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
And you came in here today, and you like Scotty's mood. That was your first comment, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
your mood is dictated by your present thoughts.
Absolutely. First of all, he comes out in the hall, starts telling me how much he can bench press and how many reps he's doing here and there. And I was like, okay, what's the real motive behind this?
Because I know your past.
So it was good. He got me excited. He got me laughing a little bit. But no, absolutely, Sandy. I think most people don't realize how much control we do have over our moods. And if we're able to really regulate our thoughts, put our thoughts in a great spot through different techniques, we can really influence our mood because our moods really directly are related to our behavior. So more and more of us need to take control of our moods by thinking great thoughts. And again, there'll be hiccups, there'll be bumps in the road, I get that. But that's why you need these tools in your toolbox to be able to get yourself back to a good, productive mood so you can perform. I think most people don't understand how much mood impacts organizational behavior. We call that OB, organizational behavior. I don't care if it's 104.3 The Fan, the Broncos, the Catholic Church, whatever it is, they're all organizations. And the people in those organizations is called human capital. Human capital, if you will, is regulated by everyone's mood. If people are in a good mood, guess what? They're going to be productive. So being able to control our moods and regulate our moods is vital to human performance.
Well, and that in theory, and I don't know, and I'm probably more general than specific, wasn't there a big thing made a bunch of years back of, I think it was Japanese factory workers, which every day they started with a positive reinforcement, a little exercise, the whole plant, and it's got to be exactly what you're talking about. They're kind of investing in those people, but they wanted their mood and their energy up to start the day because guess why? Selfish on one hand, smart on the other, because their productivity is going to go up.
Right, exactly.
And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, 20 years from now, when all this kind of work, OB, organizational behavior, gets traction, organizations will do that, Scotty. They'll come in the morning, and as an organization-wide, whether it's through teleconference or how they'll do it, they will prepare their mind for success for that day. You know, if you look at athletic performance, football teams, basketball teams, soccer, you name it, you do warm-ups. You do physiological warm-ups. You run around. You shoot layups. You shoot. You do all those things. And then coaches will say, okay, we got to focus tonight. Let's get our mind right. But how do you do that? When have you ever had a coach sit down and say, okay, this is how we're going to get our mind right? So many people talk about mindset, but very few people teach you how to get your mind right.
We know that you had some reaction to some comments made regarding concussion, effects of concussion. The movie Concussion actually will be released here fairly soon. It was reviewed just the other day in the Denver Post. Hard-hitting movie. But concussion effects on some of the things you're talking about, such as mood. And we will get to that in short order here, but not before we give away yet another copy of Selfless on Blu-ray. Ryan Reynolds and Ben Kingsley starring in the riveting sci-fi action thriller Selfless on Blu-ray and DVD now from Universal Home Entertainment. We'll make it caller number six. Caller number six at 303-228-1043. Caller number six receives a copy of Selfless on Blu-ray, Ryan Reynolds, Ben Kingsley starring in the sci-fi action thriller Selfless, Blu-ray and DVD now from Universal Home Entertainment. Sandy Clef, Scott Hastings, Dr. Rick Perea in studio on your home for the best live and local coverage of the Broncos and the NFL, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan.
It's getting near dawn.
Sandy Clark, Scott Hastings, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. Interested, I don't know that we've gotten into this deeply with you before, Dr. Rick Perea, in studio. Concussions.
Yes.
Big topic.
Yes.
And the movie coming out does not reflect well on the National Football League in general from the reviews I've read so far in some of the previews. Your thoughts on what we were talking about earlier with mood being directly related to your present thoughts. The effects of concussions on mood, memory, thinking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's so much research out recently on the impact of concussions. And one of the things that most of us, the lay people, don't think about is the impact it has on just our moods and our memory. In those two things. And, you know, the brain is a fascinating muscle. I mean, it has what is called plasticity. And plasticity in the brain means that we can change the brain. We can change the neurological connections in the brain by reinforcing it with specific thoughts. And in terms of concussion recovery, there's many methods now that have been researched and evidence-based that we can help people recover from concussions with many different techniques. One of them from an environmental perspective is what we call SIT. It's called stress inoculation technique, and it's basically diaphragmic breathing. The brain gets 30% more oxygen when you breathe from your diaphragm versus your chest cavity. Now, think about that, 30% more oxygen. For those out there that are car enthusiasts, if you took a two-barrel carburetor versus a four-barrel carburetor, you're going to get more gas, better performance, more horsepower. Same thing with the brain. You give the brain 30% more oxygen, you're going to increase performance, clarity of thinking, decision making. So on that first step, diaphragmic breathing. The second step is imagery. And the research on imagery is fascinating, fellas. I mean, you know, you think about if you close your eyes, you see yourself having success. The brain will really fire in exactly the same way when you image as when you actually perform something. And so that's fascinating because you're getting free repetitions with the brain. That forms new neurological connections. So what we found with concussion recovery is from an environmental perspective, we can really speed up the healing of concussions through using SIT, stress inoculation technique. The other thing we can do is we can regulate brain waves through neuroconditioning. We do that in our office where we regulate brain waves through neural activity through using amplifiers with the brain. There's nothing that penetrates the scalp. There's nothing that penetrates the brain itself, but it's just being able to operantly condition brain waves through computer programs. And so what we have found recently is we have been able to bring people back from concussions much quicker by using the environmental approach and the organic approach with neuroconditioning.
Is there any of this research, I got to believe when you're talking about it, because I know that Mr. B's, you know, condition with Alzheimer's and I won't say it's a pandemic, but I mean, it seems more and more to the forefront. You know, I lost a dear friend of the condition just recently. Is the research and what you're talking about with that just from concussion that they've looked into that also with that, maybe changing transponders in the brain with patients like that also?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the neuroconditioning aspect, the research is great. I mean, this started back in the 30s with training cats with seizures, But the research has been progressing, and the research is really good for any kind of auditory processing issues, which is PTSD or attention deficit, Alzheimer's, yeah. all those conditions. And what we're also finding now, too, is, you know, being able to exercise and stimulate what we call the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland is called the master gland, and it excretes all the mood hormones, the norepinephrine, the epinephrine, which are just fancy words for adrenaline, dopamine, and serotonin. So when we can stimulate the pituitary gland to release these hormones, they can be very helpful. See, we've been very, you know, from a medical model, I get it. I got some medical friends out there, the doctors that are my buddies. They come at it from a medical model, but there's a holistic approach to this. And by exercising and stimulating that pituitary gland, we're finding that we can now use exercise as a therapy that is helping people who have Alzheimer's, that have PTSD, attention deficit. And the research is young and it's coming up, but I'll tell you what, it's one of the things we use in our practice. It's holistic. You know, if you walk in our office, it's just not a bunch of offices where you sit on a couch and talk to somebody. We have a gym where people can work out. We have a sensory deprivation tank where people can float in pharmaceutical grade Epsom salts. We have a biomat where people can lay on a mat that has a bunch of emerald stones that heat up on their own through negative ions and thermal red power, not through electricity. It's fascinating what we're now able to achieve. So being able to understand the psychophysiological connection, that interdependence, you know, my friends in Boulder have long called it mind-body connection, but now psychology calls it psychophysiology. And what we're understanding now, if we take care of this, meaning the brain and the mind, without incorporating the body, it's not holistic. Or if we incorporate the body without the mind and the brain, it's not holistic. So absolutely, Scotty, the research is young, but definitely people are seeing improvement by stimulating that pituitary gland so it excretes some of those positive hormones that can help heal.
And the point of the movie is that the NFL has ignored a lot of this for a very long time, but may now, however gradually, be getting to a point where they're more receptive.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the NFL's defense, I think they
And
may...
you're around pro teams and college teams. Yeah. Do you have that sense that they're more receptive to
yes.
what you're talking
about? And, you know, yeah, I'm around a lot of pro teams and college teams and players and coaches, and I can tell you this, that, you know what, the NFL probably didn't have all the right information early on in their defense. You know, they got lawyers and attorneys, and they had doctors that really kind of facilitated their viewpoint. And we have what's called the scientific funnel. It's called thesis, antithesis, synthesis. There's thesis in all those three words. But if you pour any content through that scientific funnel, it means you've got to consider alternative explanations. You've got to consider competing viewpoints. And I think what the NFL is guilty of is they didn't look at enough antithesis on the other side to understand. I think they are now, and I think they're really open to finding out really what's going on here. Because I'll tell you what, you know, I played football, I played college football, and, you know, was a free agent with the Broncos. But I can tell you this, I've had a lot of collisions, a lot of dings in my life, but I think it's a safe sport if technique is tackling is taught the right way, if blocking is taught the right way. And I think that the helmets are being made more safe than ever before. And then some of the things we've just talked about right now, we can treat concussions in a more holistic way to help people improve. So I think from all those aspects, I think the NFL is getting the information they need so they can make objective decisions going forward.
Sandy Clough, Scott Hastings, more with Dr. Rick Perea in studio as we continue on your home for the best Latin local coverage, the Broncos and the NFL. Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. Sandy Clough, Scott Hastings, Dr. Rick Perea in studio on your home for the best Latin local coverage, the Broncos and the NFL, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. You've spoken about Alabama before. We were chatting before we came on. It's uncanny to me, and I know it's held against them in some quarters. You lost to a team that is now unranked at home, but, boy, they sure seem to know when they can afford to lose games, and do they rise to the occasion for the big ones?
Yeah.
As they did most recently against LSU.
Yeah. Well, and I think what many people probably don't understand is Alabama has a performance model that they follow. And it's a linear model called, I mean, and these are the four stages. It's forming, storming, norming, and performing. And it's kind of cute that that all rhymes, but the reality is it works. And so what every organization goes through a period where they form. And every organization goes through a period where they storm. They figure out who they are, who's playing, who's not. If you think back to that game with Alabama, they were still going. They were still playing two quarterbacks at that point.
Ole Miss earlier in the year, Alabama, yeah. Ole Miss. Alabama still playing two quarterbacks.
Yes, yeah. Alabama was still playing two quarterbacks, and by design, you know, they wanted to see who was going to be the right guy in the heat of the moment, and they said, you know what, we're going to storm. We're going to find out where we are right now. And they don't purposely go into a game and say, we're going to lose this game. But they go into a game knowing they're going to play different personnel in different situations to be able to determine, you know, who's going to be our guy. So when we do play LSU, when we do play in the SEC championship game, we're going to be forming, moving into that performing stage. So, you know, all the top teams really have a performance model. They follow it, and it's done in a really systematic way. So for those people that think, well, you know, they lost to this team or they lost to that team, go back and look at some of the championship teams and who they've lost to during their seasons. And you could probably point to the storming phase at that point in their development. So I wouldn't make too much of it. I think Bama has very good personnel. When you look at them across the top, you look at their running back, Henry. You know, I was telling a friend this the other day. He gets to that second level, and DBs are pulling up on with hamstrings. Nobody wants to tackle that kid. 6'3", 240, and he runs very well. So when we talk about, you know, high-performing teams, and then you look at them defensively, they're what they've always been. They run that 50 reduction, and what they're able to do is they can defend against ISO and power and everything that they run in the
what
SEC.
LSU does best.
What LSU does LSU best. Cold. Absolutely. And so, you know, they're built for championship games, and I think, you know, they'll have a good opportunity again this year.
When you look at the – and when you're saying this forming, storming, then performing – and we talked about it earlier in the show, the Nuggets, for the first time I've heard in a long time, talking about process.
Yeah.
Not talking
yeah.
about wins and losing. They're talking about establishing, forming
yep.
who they want to be. A play hard, defensive, fast team every night. Not two out of three nights,
right.
not four out of five. That's what you're talking about right there. That's forming. So whether by hook or by crook, they're kind of in that model you're talking about right now. Is that they are forming.
Absolutely.
When they have the confidence in it, I would assume, is now when the teams take it to the next level or are in the storming part of it, right? They believe in that, what they formed, so they get into the storming part, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, forming is really early on. Like, forming is really basically training camp and them selecting yeah. their players. The storming part is when they figure out, okay, you know what? We got players in certain situations are very productive in you know, crunch time. We have other players that don't play really well when it's crunch time. So storming is kind of figuring out who you are, where you fit in that particular context. Then you get into the norming part, and that's where, you know, when you talk about just not two out of three nights or one out of three nights, that you're going to play hard three out of three nights.
And that becomes the norm.
That becomes the norm. And then once you get into that groove on a consistent basis, that's perform. We call that in the DNA. It's not in the DNA yet for the Nuggets to play hard every night and be the best they can be. But if they keep working at that, you know, storming piece, figure out their pieces, they'll get into the norm, and then performing will be that phase where they're actually playing to their potential night in and night out. It's in their DNA.
Which is kind of, let's be honest, what we witnessed in Golden State
yes.
in the process of Steph Curry's career. They're now in the performing part of their system, their team, right?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, it didn't happen by happenstance. I can go back almost to a team, Scotty and Sandy, and tell you, all these teams that perform high on a consistent basis, there is a methodology behind their performance levels. It's not just, oh, we have great talent. Personnel is one element. It's not just personnel. You got to have team cohesion. You got to have team love and belief. You know, love wins. I've said that here before. Love wins in an organization. And, you know, Golden State, they got that love. And I don't mean the love that I'm, you know, attracted to you in terms of affection, but love because I respect you. I believe in you. And I'm going to fight for you when we have our backs against the wall. That kind of love wins.
You know, we talk about organizations in sports that kind of epitomize
what it takes to win and can repeat that process. And Golden State, San Antonio, obviously, has
yep.
exemplified that in the NBA over the years. Golden State has that now. You go to hockey, Chicago, 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. They seem to have that, the empowering of the leading players, the holding of those players to accountability. They accept that.
Yes.
They accept that trade-off. They pass it along to everybody else. We're seeing a couple of college hockey programs here in the area follow mm-hmm. that professional Chicago model.
Yep.
Jim Montgomery at DU, Mike Havlin with more of a rebuilding job down at Colorado College. We turn to baseball. I think we've seen it with the Kansas City Royals, whose gear Scott is sporting today. If
yeah,
you didn't
I noticed
notice,
that. He's got
Dr.
all his
Pria
KC gear on.
In.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jumping
but,
on
but
the bandwagon.
But it seems like, yeah. it, didn't it to you as you watched the Royals? They, and we've talked about Alabama that way. And it's the reason I think in the NFL now, though they aren't the only undefeated team, though they aren't the only team that is described as a strong possibility to get to and win the Super Bowl, New England gets the benefit of the doubt
yeah.
because they seem to have mastered that, you know,
yeah.
and all the other teams we just talked about. They get that benefit of the doubt because they've shown that they understand the process and how to get there.
Yeah. Well,
and how to perform, how to go through those 4 stages at the right time.
Yeah. And again, this may seem obvious, but I'll state it again. The human capital on football teams, basketball teams, soccer teams, you name it,
Family units.
They're human organisms. They're human organisms, and they have emotions, they have feelings, they have moods, they have perceptual values, and we have to understand how those moods and perceptual values work. You know, we have a saying on our board in our office that says, as above is below. As above is below. That means if you're good up here in the head, the rest will follow. But you've got to get right. You got to get the right mindset, and there's great strategies of how to do that. So the teams that we're talking about, those top teams, regardless of sport, they have figured out their methodology, and there is a proven research and evidence-based methodology, which we study on a regular basis, of how to get people in the right mindset. And, you know, the one thing I'll say this, too, because I know Scotty usually brings this up, but I'll beat him to the punch today. You know, a family is an organization. We do the same thing with families. You know, as a father, I have to get myself in the right mindset to do. I got 3 boys, 12, 9, and 7, and they're all wired. You know, they're fired up, ready to go. And before I know it, they're punching each other in the nose. And I got to regulate myself as a father. I got to regulate myself as a husband. And being able to perform in those contexts is vitally important. So these techniques really get us in the right frame of mind so we can perform regardless of what we do. And I'll say this to the listeners out there. Every single one of you out there is a performer in something. You know, and I don't want to minimize it. Even if you don't work outside the home and you work, you still perform as a mother, as a father, as a husband. And so for us to be able to regulate anxiety and arousal through these techniques is vital. The tools are out there, people. Use them because, my gosh, don't look back 20 years from now and say, I should have, would have, could have. And I think there's so many of us athletes. I know for me, I look back on my career and think, wow, physiologically I had it going, but man, from the neck up, I wasn't right. And if I would have had these tools, who knows? But anyway, I'll live with where I came out. I was still faster than Scotty and still a little more athletic than him, so I'll
not
live with
strong.
That.
He's strong a little more. I read something yesterday, and it was talking about a relationship, and I know a lot of guys, when you talk the intimacy of a relationship, and once again, this is the same thing with a team, family, a business. Everybody wants, you know, guys intimate. Oh, we're having, you know, boom, boom. No, I'm talking about that way I describe intimacy is be able to show you my weakest moment
yes.
without fear of being judged.
Yes.
That's true intimacy. The problem and the thing I was reading the other day is when we have struggles in a relationship, business, Sandy and I, family, loved ones, whatever, it's when we start focusing on just their negative, whatever they are.
Right.
And once we start focusing on their negative, correcting them, trying to control them, another control issue thing, we lose all sight of the positive.
Absolutely.
Lose all sight of the great they do.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen that in sports teams. This guy can't jump.
Right.
Or Peyton Manning can't run anymore, can't move. And we focus just on this, that you tend to lose sight of everything else that could be positive that helps build the intimacy of the relationship.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is a focus on the deficit base of any relationship. You want to focus on the virtues of people, the assets of people. I mean, if you think of any person you know, think of 10 characteristics they have. They probably have 8 great characteristics and 2 that could challenge you. I get that. But that's for everybody. And if we learn to focus on the virtues of people, their assets, and not from a deficit base of what they don't have, then that's when human performance really takes off, is to accentuate what they have, build it. You can still work on the challenges, absolutely, but they're not a focal point. And if we can do that in relationships, again, human capital is what makes up organizational performance, and sport teams are organizations.
Sandy Clough, Scott Hastings, Dr. Rick Perea in studio. We continue, but not before we give you a chance to win a copy of WWE 2K16 for PS4. WWE 2K16 offers the biggest roster in WWE video game history with over 120 WWE stars, favorite superstars, divas, and legends. WWE 2K16's core wrestling gameplay is smoother and more responsive than ever. We have a copy to give away, 303-228-1043. We'll make it caller number 10, 303-228-1043. Caller number 10 receives a copy of WWE 2K16. On Denver Sports Nation, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. Us. And being in a survival mode in that middle third, and maybe fluctuations in performance, and the Broncos are just an example of this. There are many teams, collegiately and professionally, in the middle of a football season, they'll give you their best one week, and maybe their worst the following week. Is there anything to, in terms of what you were talking about earlier, the idea of being able to manage those fluctuations?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. In that form, storm, norm, and perform phase, that's you divide it up into quadrants. But no, I totally get that. The only risk in that, and I'll give you an example from a college team I worked with several years ago. And I'll leave them nameless, but a college team I was working with was dominant in the first 5-6 games of the season, and they were ranked 1-2 in the nation. Not that that's important, but that's where they were. And they kind of took on the mindset that they were going to, as you said, kind of survive the next 3 or 4 games against my advice. And I was able to tell them that, you know what? The problem and the risk is this. Think of the analogy like a Land Rover Defender, for those of you who know what that is. If you're going through the mud and you got to have a certain momentum to make it through that mud, you've got to put your foot on the throttle and get enough momentum going to get out of the mud. The problem is if you let off that throttle enough, you'll get stuck in the mud and you can't get back out into the rhythm that you were in prior to going into that mud. So you've got to really be careful with that. And the beauty of that linear model I mentioned is you don't start really forming and performing until the last 2 quadrants, which is really good in terms of peaking at the right times, both for college teams and pro teams, to peak at the right time. Because, again, you look back over the years, I think it was Green Bay that was 16-0, and then they get knocked out in the first round. And then you look back at the
15-1.
Or 15-1.
15-1 and got knocked out.
Yeah, and then
the Giants.
Yeah, and then the New York Giants were 8-8 and win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, if you look at those models, what really matters is how you're performing in that last quadrant.
Well, there you go. So I weren't terribly off the base.
No.
I just did thirds instead of quadrants, which would mean
right.
4. Quad meaning 4.
Quad meaning 4.
Yeah,
yes.
I just did it in tries, meaning 3. what's
See, Rick knows his division. You can divide.
Well, yeah.
16 by 4.
Because he outkicked his coverage in his marriage, and she's really helped him with that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I'm all over you today, and I apologize.
No, that's good.
Hey, when you look at all the sports teams, whether it's in town, local, college, what's the first step to get mentally in the right direction that a team could take besides picking up the phone and calling you? But, I mean, what's that first step? So, because I guarantee you there's some Gold Crown basketball,
mm-hmm.
which I know your boys have been involved in. It'll be starting real soon if it hasn't already started.
Right.
The high school basketball season is just getting underway. The high school football is just starting to wrap up with the state tournaments and stuff like that. But what's that first step a team could do or should do?
Yes.
To get their team mentally in that place that will help them achieve what they could possibly achieve?
Great question. Think of this. Sport is a very social endeavor. You know, a lot of us don't think of it that way, but it's so social. We're around other people. We communicate with other people. We're touching other people. It's very socially oriented. The number one thing, you know, and my son, again, he does play in that Gold Crown League. The first thing I would recommend is that do something with your team that's socially based. You know, a lot of people wait till the end of the season to do these activities. Right. Yep. Oh, we're going to have an end-of-season party. Right. Like my son, their team is playing in the Super Bowl. I have to kind of laugh at that because they play it on a Sunday. They try to replicate it. That's the professionalization of youth sport. But they're playing in the Super Bowl, and they're going to have an end-of-season party that day after the game. Build that cohesion the first thing out of the gate, Scotty. I mean, somebody said, oh, we got to get on the court. We got to practice, get our team together. Have a social event where you get the boys together and you just sit around and you go, what's your name? What school do you go to? What sports do you play? Oh, okay, cool. Oh, you wear Jordans? I wear LeBrons. Just some getting them talking, getting them socially integrated with each other, because when they get to know each other on a social basis, they're going to have each other's back out on the court. If you just throw a team together, like some clubs do in youth sport, they just throw a team together and they think the only thing we got to do is get you right in scheme and in practice and technique. That's part of it. But man, I'm telling you, that social cohesion aspect is where it's at. And when you got guys that, and girls that like each other, are attracted to each other, then they have a chance to truly reach their potential.
Quick question before I let you go. It probably involves a more complicated answer than you have time to give, but this from the Total Beverage text line at 29588 from the 720. From strictly a dad perspective, what's the number one thing I can do to make sure my daughters are mentally, physiologically healthy?
Shut up. Keep your mouth shut. You know what? People may be shocked at that. Let me tell you something. Parents oftentimes hurt our own players' production because we get over-involved in teaching them and coaching them. You know, I fell into this trap. Sandy and Scotty, as you know, I have a daughter that played soccer at Arizona State.
Yeah.
And I was always there trying to give her a few tips here and there, trying to help her get better. The way to put your athlete in a great spot for success in youth sports is to let them own their own success, let them own their own failures. They will find their way. You do need to parent them. You need to guide them. But just let them own their own experience, and sometimes biting your tongue on that ride home after the game,
yep.
Bite your tongue, give them two compliments, no questions, and just being able to be quiet, let them own those experiences will go a long way in their success.
And know that their success isn't your success.
Umbilical cord has been cut.
I screwed up with my son. I've told you the story before. He comes out of the game so excited on the way home, scored 6 points. I'm thinking, I've never been happy having six, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of letting him enjoy his success and say, you know, if you'd have done this one time, you'd have got a basket there and you could have flashed in once in a while, you could have gotten that. Then, you know, I'm thinking double figures is success. I ruined his moment.
Yes,
I absolutely 100% crushed his moment. I didn't have the tools, didn't know any better back then. I see that now, and to be honest with you, one of my huge regrets as a dad, if you will, growing up with raising a kid.
Absolutely. Let them own their own failures and successes.
And from that same texter at the 720, great advice. Thanks. Absolutely. I get it. We will close on that note. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Particularly for the entire hour. Dr. Rick Perea, our in-studio guest, will be down at Blake Street tomorrow, the Blake Street Tavern, for a Bud Light Football Friday. Hope you join us between noon and 3 on your home for the best live and local coverage. Broncos in the NFL. The Drive is next from Governor's Park. B. Allen, D. Mac. On Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.